Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our associate pastor.
Good morning. My name is Matt Seitz, and I'm the college minister here at North Central. And like Robert was saying, Pastor is leading a group of people to Cuba. They're there right now, so keep them in your prayers throughout the rest of this week. We have a really great team that's there. I want to start off today by telling a story, like I do a lot of times. I remember, like, some of the most fondest memories of my childhood was going on a field trip with my class. And we would go to some place that probably wasn't that exciting, because I'm not from a big town or anything like that. So we would go to, like, some, you know, really small museum or to the park or, you know, usually something educational. But then my favorite time would come around, and that's lunchtime. So they would unpack, like, all the things. The teacher would unpack all the things that he or she had and pass out the lunch to everyone. You know, maybe it was hot dogs or sandwiches or something like that. But there was something that was in pretty much every field trip lunch that we ever got. It was those small bags of chips. It comes in, like, a big pack from Sam's Club, and it's got Doritos, it has Fritos, it has Cheetos, and it has, like, the classic Lay's. So if you're one of the first people that go up there, you get the Doritos. You know, if you're one of the last people, you probably have to end up with the Fritos. But even if you're one of the first people who goes up there and you get the bag of Doritos, I got a bigger bag because I thought maybe a small bag wouldn't be easy to see. And I'm going to eat them after this too. They're my favorite chips. Everyone gets a bag of chips. And I think everyone can relate to the next thing that happens. You get the bag, you're one of the first ones, you've got the Doritos, and, like, all the Cheeto people and the Frito people are behind you, and, like, you're already going to start. So what you do is you open the bag. And then, is there anything more disheartening than opening up a bag of Doritos? Because there's, like, three chips in there. Like, you open it up and you pour it out, and, like, two chips and some crumbs fall out of it. Like, even right now, this one is filled up to right here. Right there. So that's, like, that's actually pretty generous. That's almost half of the bag, probably like a third. But is anything more disheartening than opening up a bag of Doritos from a snack pack? I don't think there really is, at least not in elementary school. And sometimes things aren't really what they seem. So, like, the Dorito bag, everyone pretty much looks the same. Like, every bag of Doritos that's in that pack is filled up with air, so it looks relatively the same. But whether you're going to get three chips or, like, 10 chips is kind of just dependent on how much air that was puffed into it. So things aren't always what they seem. Nowhere is this more apparent than on social media. Some of you guys are on Facebook, and some of you guys are on Instagram. Some of you guys aren't, but I think you could probably still relate to this. So you can go ahead and go to the next slide, which is the same one without the words on it. So if you look at people's Instagram or if you look at people's Facebook, you would think that all they do is sit at the beach. You know, all they do is sit on a kayak, you know, like on the water with the mountains right there. You can go on to the next one. They're always traveling. So, you know, pretty much every time you travel, you have to put a picture of the airplane wing that's on your trip, or you have to go onto Facebook and check into the airport, like, hey, look, everyone, I'm traveling. So you have to do that. You can go on to the next one. Okay, this is from my favorite Instagram account. I haven't really looked at everything on it, but I picked a few things. So this is I didn't want to embarrass anyone, so I didn't go to, like, your actual Instagram accounts. This is an Instagram account that someone takes of a Barbie, and they place her in very stereotypical situations for social media. So here she is at a coffee shop. Here's another picture of her at a coffee shop. All right, there she is, you know, sitting on the, you know, area in front of a city. It looks really nice. All right, there's another picture of latte art, of course, very, very vital. All right, there's one of my favorites. Taylor found this one yesterday when he was helping me with this. The picture of the glasses and the beautiful landscape. All right, here's, you know, she's longing for adventure or something like that. Whenever, you know, we look at people's presentations of themselves, whenever we look at a bag of chips, things aren't always what they seem. Sometimes there's a bigger story, you know, that's outside of the frame of that picture, and that's what these next ones are going to show. So, you know, this person really looks like she's alone on a beach, but, you know, all these people are around her. Go to the next one. or that someone has like a very, you know, great placed book and coffee and meal, but, you know, all the ramen noodles and everything is are along the outside. And go on to the next one. All right, or that someone's on an isolated road, but actually I think they're in, you know, some really crowded place. All right, and, you know, this is the best one, that, you know, someone has their, like, very sleek-looking MacBook and little globe and stuff on their perfectly made bed, but actually, you know, their cat is sitting on top of their pile of laundry. All right, or that's, this is a good one, that it looks like, this is what I would have to do if I wanted a picture like this, you know, balancing on the head in the perpendicular position to the ground, that someone is holding up their feet. I don't remember if that's the last one or not. I think that it is. All right. So, yeah, things aren't always what they seem, and not only are things not always what they seem, we sometimes have an interest in presenting things not as they seem. We really put forth a lot of effort to make ourselves seem better than we are. We put forth a lot of effort to make it really look like things are put together. Have you ever done something like that? Even if you don't use Facebook, even if you don't use Instagram, a lot of times in our lives, we present ourselves in a manner that's better than we are. And there's a lot of reasons that we do that. But have you ever just really done that where you felt like you either did or had to put on some sort of image, whether it was for your job? Like, a lot of times I tell people in college this, you go into your first job and you have no idea what you're doing. You have to look up everything on Google, but you have to pretend, you know, like you know what you're doing. So like you're putting forth this image of, you know, having everything put together. Or maybe you're a father or a mother and like you feel like you have to do that for your kids. Or maybe if you're a Christian and you're in church and you feel like there has to be a certain way that you present yourself, like a certain way that your house is or a certain way that you act or a certain way that you look to present yourselves to others. But then sometimes even when we do that, sometimes we feel like the actual bag of Doritos on the inside. It's like, well, I feel like, you know, I'm all really puffed up with this air, but on the inside I'm like a three chip. You know, kind of person. I'm not really feeling it. And I think we have a lot of pressure to perform in our lives. We have a lot of pressure also to conform to the image of a perfect Christian, to be someone that looks a certain way, that acts a certain way, that really flies in the face of the sort of diversity that exists in the world and the kind of situations from which God rescues us. But there has to be a reason why we do it, because it's a pretty exhausting thing to do when you think about it. It's not easy to always, you know, keep up that full Dorito bag image. But there's a few reasons why we do it. One of them is we want to belong. We want to feel like we're a part of something. We want to feel included with other people. And sometimes we think that if we don't do those things, then we're not going to be accepted and we're going to be alone, and no one wants to be alone. Sometimes we do it because we want to have an identity. Everyone wants to have an identity. That's why a kid gets so sad if you can't, or an adult, gets so sad if you can't remember their name or you call them the wrong name or something like that. It's because, like, people want to have an identity. And sometimes we feel like we have to make ourselves a certain way so that we can have that identity, so that we can feel included in the group. Like I said before, and sometimes if our identity doesn't match with the group, we'll feel like we're isolated, we'll feel like we're alone, we'll feel like outcast, we'll feel everyone else is this certain way, but I'm not like that, so like how can I be a part of this group? And everyone wants to be a part of a group. I know that I really felt like that before I was a Christian. I became a Christian my freshman year of college, but you know, my life up to that was, you know, putting forth some image that I was like the cool guy in high school, or you know, the smart person, or you know, the person that made good grades, or the person that made good grades but didn't care about making good grades, so everyone would think, you know, that they're really cool. I don't know if anyone can relate to that or not, but you know, in some way, there's a way that you put on some sort of facade or front sometimes, so that you'll be accepted by other people. So we respond by trying to be like others. You know, sometimes we see some person that we want to be like, and we're like, well, I'm going to match up, you know, everything about who I am to be like this person that I look up to. And sometimes that's a good thing, you know, if you look up to their character or something like that. But sometimes it's a false thing, because we are just trying to be like someone that we're not so that other people will like us. Or sometimes we don't really try to look like someone else, but we have this idealized version of ourselves that we think that we should look like. So what we do is we pretend that we are that so that everyone else will think that. People do that a lot, and I think, you know, I do that sometimes. And even if you don't do it as a practice, I think there's aspects in our lives where that's true. I can think of, you know, a few times people come and talk to me like, Matt, I really want to have college students over to my house, but you know, have you seen my living room before? Like the college students are going to care that you have know, some clothes down in your living room, or that you have kids that mess stuff up. You know, sometimes we want to have our houses and our identities and ourselves looking so perfect so that other people will think that we're good and that we're perfect. But what I really think is that if we could see ourselves and if we could see other people the way that God sees us, and if we could see ourselves and we could see other people the way that God sees other people, then there would be something that really significantly changes about the way that we do this. And I'm going to do an illustration to do this. So I asked two people if they would help me with this, but I'm also going to get a third person. So if those two people could come up here and sit here, but while they're doing that, I'm going to get the third person to come up and help with that. So I'm going to need a volunteer from the congregation, probably someone who is a prevet and maybe around between 10 and 16 years old. Oh, Coley, I think you'd be a good person. This is going to be something that's not embarrassing at all, so this is going to be great. I know a lot of times you get asked for stuff that's embarrassing, but this is not going to be that at all. So you can just come up here. Here, you can take the microphone. All right, and we're going to look through this package right here. And I already asked them if they would do this, so they said, well, at least Mandy said that she was okay with it. Garrett would do really anything that you asked him to do if you told him it would. You know, it would be helpful. I could have told him, all right, Garrett, we're going to chain you upside down in a tub of water, and you're going to have to unlock yourself before 2 minutes is up. But this is not that dangerous. All right, so I want you to tell me and tell everyone what is in this package. Use the microphone. It's on.
Righteous.
Okay, but, like, what are all of these?
It's an egg.
All right, how many of them are there?
Six.
All right, yeah, so there's six eggs in here. Why don't you pick one of them up? But be careful with it. All right, describe it.
It's oval. Mm-hmm. It has the word righteous on it.
All right.
There's a little dot on the top, mm-hmm. and it's kind of fragile.
Okay, how does it look compared to this one?
Pretty much the same.
Pretty much the same. But what if I told you that they're not the same?
I'd be kind of surprised.
You'd be kind of surprised, because the reality is that some of these are raw, and some of them are hard-boiled, but they're all cold. And they all look the same, and they all say righteous on the outside. And the reality is that sometimes they just figured out what's coming. Thank you, Coley.
Yeah.
All right. So Coley is actually, Coley, why don't you mix these eggs up so that people don't think that I planned it out or anything like that. All right. All right. Cool. So Coley mixed them up. All right. So. Actually, there are six eggs here, and five of them are hard-boiled, and one of them is not. So the point that I want to illustrate with this, all right, you can sit down, Coley. The point that I want to illustrate with this is a lot of times we put forth a lot of effort to make sure that we look the same way. But whenever we look on the inside, it's not always that. So these eggs, they all look like this. They're all eggs. They all are the same temperature because they kept them in the refrigerator overnight. And Garrett was asking a lot of questions yesterday about why I was boiling so many eggs, but I didn't answer them. Yeah, these are all eggs. Some of them are hard-boiled, but one of them is raw. And I don't know, I kind of struggled with whether I should boil all of them because I didn't want you guys to get an egg on you, but there is really one of them that's raw. And Mandy said that she didn't care. So one of these is raw. So what I want you to do... is to take an egg. Okay. All right. So I'm not really good at quick statistics. So there's a chance that one of these eggs is a raw egg. There's a chance that both of them are hard boiled eggs. But I'm going to use one of them just to show it. I actually know which one is raw, so I'm not going to try not to give it away. All right, so we all put on this sort of outside to make sure that we look the same as other people. But the principle from God's word and the principle that God teaches is, although the outside can look a certain way, that's really what's on the inside that counts. God can see into the very inside of who we are, and he loves us anyway. So although we put on some sort of shell to conform to what other people look like or to our idealized perception, of other people, really, it's what's on the inside of us that counts. So why don't you guys go ahead and crack your eggs on each other's head? We'll see what counts. You can do it at the same time, or you can do it one after the other. All right. You're lucky, Garrett. All right, let's see if Mandy is as lucky. Just do it, Garrett. All right, let's give it a hand for these guys. All right, you guys can sit down. All right, so they were both very lucky. The raw egg was actually this one right here. So it was the one that didn't have the dot on the eye of righteous. So they weren't all exactly the same. So we put forth this idea. We put forth this shell. We want to look like other people. We want to look righteous. We want other people to accept us. But really, it's what's on the inside that counts. And I hope that you think about that whenever you see eggs in your refrigerator. So what's on the inside matters much more than what's on the outside. And there's a story from Scripture that really illustrates this point. And it's from 1 Samuel 16, and we're going to talk about that. So what happened right before this is Saul, who is the king of Israel, had just really disobeyed God. And what God said about him is that he was no longer fit to be king of Israel. And so he was going to send his prophet to appoint a new person to be king over Israel. And that's what's happening right here in this story. So starting in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord said to Samuel," Samuel is the prophet, "how long will you grieve over Saul since I have rejected him from being king over Israel?" I'm going to read it from there since I have the ESV here. "How long are you going to mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem because I have selected a king from his sons." Samuel asked, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord answered, "Take a young cow with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will let you know what you are to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate to you." Samuel did what the Lord directed and went to Bethlehem. When the elders of the town met him, they trembled and asked, "Do you come in peace?" "In peace," he replied, "I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and said, "Certainly the Lord's anointed is the one before me," or before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him. Man does not see what the Lord sees, for man sees what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart." Jesse called Abinadab and presented him to Samuel. "The Lord hadn't chosen this one either," Samuel said. Then Jesse presented Shema, but Samuel said, "The Lord hasn't chosen this one either." And Jesse presented seven of his sons to him. Samuel told Jesse, "The Lord hasn't chosen any of these." Samuel asked him, "Are these all the sons that you have?" "There is still the youngest," he answered, "but right now he is tending the sheep." Samuel told Jesse, "Send for him. We won't sit down and eat until he gets here." So Jesse sent for him. He had beautiful eyes and a healthy, handsome appearance. And the Lord said, "Anoint him, for he is the one." So in this story, what happened was the prophet came to Jesse's household in order to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king. And there were seven sons who were the ones that you would have expected would have been the good candidates for the position. They were probably ones that had, you know, battle experience or were like big sort of muscular people, which was really important in this time period, this warring sort of time period. So they are the people that were kind of expected from the outward appearance. But what happened is God said this really important thing: "Do not look on the appearance or on the height of his stature, for I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So you can have all of your appearances together. You can look exactly like every one of the six eggs. You can look like the Doritos bag or whatever. But if your heart isn't in the right place, that's really what's important. And that's what God is after. And that's what happened in this story right here. God wanted to use the person whose heart was in the right place. It says the Lord looks at his heart. So he chose David. And you can see throughout reading other parts of the Old Testament from reading the Psalms that David was a man after God's own heart. David was someone who had a close relationship with God. He wasn't someone who was perfect, but he was someone that in a grand manner of his life was seeking after God and wanted to please God and wanted to have a close relationship with God. So a lot of times we want to put on appearances and have it all together, but then God isn't with us. And really what we should be focusing on and really what we should want, knowing that God looks at our heart, is to have our heart in a way that's oriented towards God. And it doesn't mean that we're perfect. It just means that our heart is oriented towards God and that we seek after God. You can have all your appearances together, but if God's not with you, then you've missed the most important thing, or the important thing, about the Christian faith. And a lot of times I think the reason why we do this is because we're not willing to do the hard, messy work that it takes for God to develop our character. Because a lot of times people say, you know, become a Christian, it's going to be really easy, and you're always going to want to follow God, and automatically you're going to want to be nice to people, and that lasts for a whole 12 hours until you go home and, you know, someone makes you mad, or you go to your job and there's that one person who always irritates you, or you're married and your husband or wife says something that, you know, doesn't exactly rub you the right way. You know, we all want to have the perfect exterior, but we don't want to put in the work that it takes to walk with God through the hard process of Him developing in us godliness. But it's important because a facade isn't going to change the world. Like, your projected appearance isn't going to change the world. Christ is going to change the world, and Christ can change the world through you, but you have to let Him be in your heart. You have to follow after Him. You have to allow Him to do that inward transformation of your heart, because the optimal place that you want to be is that your inside and your outside match. Like, you want people to be able to look at you and say, you know what, this Robert Prevett, he may not be perfect, but I know who he is. He's someone who is what he says he is, and he's someone who's really seeking after God. So instead of seeking after an image of a perfect Christian, we seek after God, and we allow God to change our hearts from within. We want to have a clean heart, but we need God to do it for us, because the best that we can do is we can write righteous on the outside of our egg. And it might look the same as all the other eggs, but when you really, you know, crack it on someone's head or whatever, it's either going to be a hard-boiled egg or it's not going to be a hard-boiled egg. So whatever you write on the outside isn't going to change that inward reality. And what we really need is God's intervention in our lives to make us into something that we weren't originally. And that's what we're going to look at in Psalm 51. So David was someone who was a great sinner. Like, he was someone who made mistakes in his life. But he was someone who was always a great repenter. He was someone that was always seeking after God. Even after he made a mistake, even after he turned his back on God, he wanted to turn back to God. He was someone that realized this thing that we're talking about today, that God looks at the, or that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So Psalm 51 says, or Psalm 51:9, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. So like I said, David wasn't someone who was perfect, but he was someone that sought after God. And the first thing that he knew that he needed was to be right with God. And that's the first part. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. He was someone that knew he needed God to do that. If you're someone that has sin in your life, which we all do, then you need God to give you His righteousness. You need an inward change that comes only from God. What you have to do in that situation is you have to ask God in faith, the same thing that David was asking. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And something that we know, if we're believers, is that by placing our faith in Christ, we get Jesus' righteousness instead of our own. That's not a righteousness that we can achieve. That's something that God gives to us in faith when we ask Him for it. The next thing He says is, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So what He's saying is, okay, I'm not at the place where I was right now, but I want you to do is to renew the spirit within me to get back to the place where I was before. So if you're someone who's a Christian and you have that renewed heart, but you're someone who's walking away from God, you're someone who's keeping up, you know, an outside appearance so that people will accept you, and ultimately that inside isn't matching up with the outside and you feel that dissonance in your life, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It's asking God to come back to Him, to renew that sort of vigor in a relationship with God that was there before. And the next one, stay with God. Cast me not away from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. So he's asking to be able to stay in God's presence, to be able to have his heart renewed, to be able to have the Spirit renewed within me so he has that enthusiasm for it, but then also to stay in God's presence. So a lot of times, even when we walk with God for a long time and we feel stagnant or the inside of the egg isn't matching out with the outside, our tendency is to pout about it and to stay outside of God's presence and to stay outside of the community of faith. But what David is asking here is, like, take not your presence away from me. He wants to be in God's presence. And a lot of times that's something that's really hard, because whenever we don't feel like our identity matches up, or we don't feel like we belong, the last thing that we want to do is to be in God's presence. We want to walk out of God's presence. But what we need to do is to put ourselves into God's presence. And then finally, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. So the final thing is, like, to restore that relationship and the joy that David had in serving God. Because whenever we sin and we walk away from God, it damages our relationship with him. If you are someone who has never given your life to Christ and who has never followed God, then it's been a pattern of your life to not consider godly things. It's been a pattern of your life to not submit to God, submit to the things that God wants for your life, to have faith. If you're someone who is a believer but you're walking away from that, it's similar in that we walk away from God and we feel like we don't want to be in a relationship with him, but what we really need is for that relationship to be restored. And that's who God is. In God's nature is reconciliation. In God's nature is to bring us back to ourselves. It doesn't matter how long you've walked away from God. It doesn't matter how long you've walked with God. So I think there's a few things that we can do if you're in that situation. And like I've said before, we've all been in that situation. You've either been in that situation before, you're in that situation now, or one day you will be in that situation where you really feel like your inside isn't matching up with the outside that you portray. And I think there's a few things that we can do to work towards correcting that. And one of them is to pray. This is something that you see David doing time and time again, and going to the Lord in prayer. I don't know if I said it, but this psalm that we read, this is a prayer of David, the same person that we were talking about in the passage. You know, this is him crying out to God and praying to God. Hide your face from my sins, blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So he was praying to God. Whenever we walk away from God, really one of the first things that we can do is we can pray to God. We can ask. It can sound something like, hey, God, I know that we haven't talked in a while because I've been walking away from you, but I really want to go back into a relationship with you. And that's the first step. Because honestly, a lot of times whenever we make a mistake, the next thing we want to do is to try and make another mistake to make up for that first mistake. You know, you can see that. I'm like the last person that can talk about, you know, children, our experience with kids. My wife can testify to that. But like whenever you see a kid lie about something, sometimes when you confront them about it, the next thing they do is tell another lie, you know, to try and make up for that first lie. And then it gets worse and worse and worse. And we do that a lot of times in our relationship with God. You know, we believe the lie that, you know what, I didn't spend time, you know, praying today, or I didn't spend the time, you know, reading the Bible today. There was someone at my work that I felt like I could have ministered to, and I didn't do that. So it doesn't really matter what I do next. Like I already, we do it with the gym too, right? You know, I didn't work out today, so it really doesn't matter if I work out tomorrow or the next day. And it becomes like a pattern. We get ourselves into this pattern where, well, you know, it doesn't really matter because the first time I didn't do it, so you know, I don't really care. That's something we shouldn't do. Something that we should do right after we make a mistake is admit that we made a mistake. And then just ask for God's forgiveness. A lot of times we don't feel like we deserve God's forgiveness or that God would forgive us if we asked. But God will forgive us if we ask. God wants us to be in a right relationship with him. So I think the first thing that we do is we ask God and we pray. The second thing is that we're honest with God. If we look back at 1 Samuel 16 and remember the main one that we had from that, God sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. No matter how you are, God knows you. God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows you better than your wife knows you or your husband knows you. God knows you a million times better than any of those things. So to try and put on some sort of image to fool God is an exercise in futility because God knows exactly who we are. But the positive side of that is God knows exactly who we are, but he loves us anyway. God knows every sin that you've committed. God knows every thought that you've ever had. God knows everything that you've done. God knows even when, like, my great-grandmother used to do this thing where someone would call her, and it was, like, before caller ID, so she would pick up the phone and be like, oh, hello. And then she'd hang up, and she's like, I hate that person. So, like, even when, like, it sounds like the, you know, nice great-grandmother on the phone, but then, oh, I hate that person. Like, God knows all of that. God knows when our actions don't line up with our words. So the first thing to do is pray, and the second thing to do is to be honest with God, because God knows you more than you know yourself. But then the good side of that is, even though God knows you more than you know yourself, he loves you anyway. And the really hard thing about that is we don't really have a great parallel to that in life. There's always people in our lives who love us, but there's an element of sin in their lives that causes them to not react in the same way that God would in every circumstance. Now, we have really great people in our lives that follow Jesus and are great examples of Christ's love and forgiveness, but there's no one who's a perfect example. So we always have that kind of reservation in our heart where if I go and I ask for forgiveness, am I really going to get it? You know, did I screw up too bad? Am I too far from what God wants me to be? Should I hide myself from God? You shouldn't hide yourself from God because, I mean, it's like you're standing right. It's like whenever you play hide and seek with a kid and they're like standing right there, you know, in the middle of the floor and like, oh, you found me. And that's how it is with our relationship with God. We can think we're hiding from God, but we can't hide from God because he sees everything and he knows everything, but he loves us anyway. And the next thing we can do is to be honest with others. Because God entrusted to us, it says in 1 Corinthians, that God entrusted, in 2 Corinthians, that God entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation, that we are God's ambassadors making an appeal to the world. So one of the things that means is we can remind each other of this message of reconciliation that's available in Jesus. And sometimes this is harder. Sometimes it's easier to be honest with God than it is to be honest with others, because others can judge you. Others will make the sinful sort of mistakes that God won't make. You know, sometimes we just feel like we need to have a weight lifted off our shoulders, and we need to have this sort of inside that matches with the outside. So we think, okay, well, I can pray, I can talk to God, but, you know, this is just going to be a thing between me and God. But I think God made us to live in community with one another so that we could lovingly point each other closer to God through the mistakes, through the messiness, through all of that. I think that's one of the things that I've really loved about being a member of North Central for the past 10 years. North Central was the first church that I joined after I became a believer my freshman year in college. And through these past 10 years, I've sinned. You know, through these past 10 years, you know, we've had, you know, parents and grandparents who have gotten cancer. Through these years, we've had, like, really tough times where, like, it didn't really feel like inside me wanted to match with outside me. Honestly, today, I didn't feel it, like, coming up here to preach. You know, sometimes, like, you don't just really feel like inside matches out with outside, but you have to rely on the people that God has put in your life in the church to be able to be God's ministers of reconciliation to each other. And this, out of the four things I'm, you know, talking about, this is probably the hardest one because people hurt you. And the work of doing relationships well, the work of reconciliation, is a messy and difficult work. But something that I think it's worth it to be committed to as believers in Christ. Because you could always go up to someone and say, hey, you know, my inside isn't matching with my outside. I need someone to pray with me about it. I need someone to talk about. And it's possible that they would judge you. You know, that's definitely a possibility. But what I've found in my personal experience is that has been the exception, not the rule. You know, sometimes there are people that hurt our feelings. Sometimes there are people that aren't good at ambassadors for Christ. And sometimes it's because, you know, their inside isn't matching up with their outside, and they have to feel like, you know, they're better. So they say, oh, you know, that's you. You know, I'm sorry that's you, and I'm perfect. But I think we really need to work on being these ambassadors of reconciliation to one another. We really need to be willing to be honest and say, you know what, I don't feel like I look right now, and I want someone to pray with me. I want someone to walk through me with this. The New Testament says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I think that's one thing that we're called to do as believers, is to bear one another's burdens and to be ministers of God's reconciliation to others. And I think the final thing is to be honest with yourself. A lot of times that's a difficult thing. It depends on the person. I think if you're a guy, it's really hard to be honest with yourself. And I don't want to say that it's not, you know, the same for ladies, but, you know, sometimes if you could see this stuff that I put on before I was about to go out, you know, I looked in the mirror, I thought, man, this looks really great. And then Jess would say, Matt, I think you should change, you know, before you go out there. Like, we present ourselves in our own minds a lot of times better than we really are. So sometimes, even though it's hard to be honest with other people, it's also hard to be honest with ourselves. So that's the fourth thing that we can do. You have to be honest with yourselves, because if God can see the innermost depths of you and love you for who you are, then we should be able to look into the innermost depths of ourselves and accept that love that God has given us. So I think that's really it. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. I think that's the challenge for us today. And the challenge that I want to present to you is it's typical. It's not, you know, a really out of the ordinary thing that your inside is not matching up with your outside. That's something that happens to us a lot of times. But the answer is not to run away from God. The answer is not to put more effort into trying to craft an image. The answer is to pray the same sort of prayer that David prayed, that you would ask God to renew a right heart within you. And that's what I want us to have the opportunity to do right now.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.